queue. I feel at maybe 50 or 60% right now, but they said it's probably going to take a month, and so I'm about 16 or 17 days into this, and so we've got a couple weeks left, so it's good. Let's pray, and oh, yes. Oh, is that, wow. Isn't it, it's great how the Lord moves, isn't it? That's neat. That's neat. Well, if you said yes to that last week, come and talk to me after Sunday school today, and we'll set the record straight, okay? All right, let's pray, and then we'll get into our lesson today. Father, thank you so much for those that are here. And Lord, we really, I think our heart's desire is to follow Jesus. And God, maybe we don't even think about this, but he, the eternal God, Jesus, entered time when he came down to this earth as a baby, and then he operated within that time. And Lord, being that he's perfect, everything he says, everything he thinks, everything he does, it's truth. And the way that he even managed his time is truth. And so, Lord, I pray that you would center us today on Jesus and help us to be centered on the truthfulness of time management. And, Lord, I pray that every aspect of our lives would reflect Jesus, even in the way that we manage the time that you give us to glorify your name, and really in the way that we are operating, Lord, to serve you in a way that is good for other people. And so bless our time and our conversation. Help our minds to be engaged with Scripture and truth. Lord, help our hearts to receive that which may need to change in our lives too. And help us just to be open to the work that you want to do in us and through us. And so we commit this time to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just a quick review to help me understand where we're going. Remember, we're partnering with a ministry called Cadre Ministry. So my wife and I, we launched a nonprofit ministry ourselves out of Mesquite. And what we essentially do is we encourage and we equip pastors and churches. Cadre Ministries, they're an equipping ministry out in Illinois. He's a friend of mine. In fact, he's flying out here in January, and we'll be setting up meetings with him with different churches and things like that. And this is his curriculum. And so he's allowed us, usually have to pay for this. He's giving it to us for free, okay? And that's very, very kind of him. And so this is who put this together, Cadre Ministries. And it's entitled Time Management for Painfully Pooped Out People. Maybe you're not painfully pooped out. Doesn't mean that you're not supposed to manage your time in a way that honors the Lord. All right, let's go to slide 5. Hopefully Dave is going to have to click a few times to get us there, because there's lots of things to get through. Let's go to that 5th slide. Hopefully you'll remember some of these things as the slides go through. For those of you that were here last week. All right. Remember this, I need more time. Okay, we all have the same amount of time. That's not really the issue. Okay? No one can get more time, and the implication is you must prioritize or you're going to drown. All right, as we go through your notes there, I remember some of these pictures from last week as well. Parkinson's Law, anybody remember that? Work expands to fill the time available. That just is automatic in our humanness. As we get more available time, we usually fill that with more things to do. Not necessarily a bad thing, but like I said, hopefully last week, that we want to enter God into the conversation as far as our calendars and how we either spend our time or invest our time. Hopefully we don't do a whole lot of wasting time. All right, go to that next slide that we're looking for. Hopefully you remember some of these examples as well. Okay, so time and life management is about putting God's big boulders in first. Anybody remember that verse? Jesus said what? Go ahead and run that next one. He said, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's what Jesus said. So just thinking about your big things that you should be dedicating your time to, okay? We're going to talk about that. Looked at some of the principles. Hopefully last week we went through ponder the brevity of life often. Today we're going to find 2 through 4 there. The first strategy is prioritize. And so to do that, there's two principles that go along with that. This is the verse. Ponder the brevity of life often. Life is short.
Don't worry about it. Okay, well, there you go. Some people are verifying this, right? There's a verse that goes along with that. Going through, more and more. You guys remember this?
Yeah.
Okay. Almost there. Okay. Think about this. To succeed at the wrong things is to fail. I want you to think about that in reference to, we're all going to stand before God and give an account. We all want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. But if we lived our life in doing the things that we wanted to do, and we never really sought God in the things that He wanted us to do for Him, we may have succeeded, but we may have succeeded at the wrong things. And if we succeed at the wrong things, is that really success? I don't know. So, Dave, would you click that again? The critical question is this. What priorities does God want us to have? What do you think? Okay, you think about that for a second. But what are the priorities that God wants us to have? I mean, if we want to follow God, we want to do things His way, then let's consider what He might have. All right, next slide. So under that strategy of prioritizing, we want to ponder the brevity of life often. And number two in your notes, time management principle number two, if you can't see it, I'll read it to you. Prioritize the relationships of Jesus. Prioritize the relationships of Jesus. All right, click again. Here's the key time management thought with that. Okay, Dave, go again. It's this. We must intentionally and proactively make the relationship priorities of Jesus our daily pursuit. Relationships. Relationships. Now, this is where it's going to get interesting. Because when you talk about managing your time, the thing that Jesus prioritized was, talk about ponder the brevity of life. Jesus lived how many years, would you say?
33.
Yeah, 30, 33, somewhere in there, right? So He knew He was going to the cross. He knew being born that He was going to die for the sins of mankind. He knew that. So I think that was something that probably went through Him often. In fact, when you read the scriptures, He would often tell the disciples, He would give them clues about the fact that He was going to die. So He was reflecting on that. He was making He was prioritizing in that way, using that time management principle, you might say. But number two, Jesus was huge on relationships. And so the way that He filled His time, priority-wise, was with relationships. Okay? Now, I know you all have things to do, but my prayer for you is this as we enter 2018. And how do I even say this? This is something I've been praying about all week to kind of share with you. Let me ask you a question. I'll do it this way. When we get into the new building, because I hear a lot of new building talk, and I praise God for the new building, but I want us to think about this now. When we finally get into the new building, we have that first service, and I'm sure that day is going to be incredible. I bet we're going to be packed out because you're going to invite your friends, family, and faraway neighbors. I don't know what's going to happen that day. We're going to be packed out. Then what, though, you guys? Because this is the thing we've been anticipating the whole time. We're getting into the new building. Well, this is what I want to challenge our thinking with. We are not here for the new building. But God, in His timing, has granted us a new building for a reason. And that's not the end all. That's just the beginning. So, but sometimes the talk is, and I love the excitement, but what I want you to understand is, that's not the ceiling. The building's not the ceiling. It may not even be totally the beginning. I don't know. But God doesn't have us here to build a building. He wants us to build His church. And guess what? It can't all be on Pastor Craig and Janine. There's many hands make light work, right? So here's what I want you to think about as we get into this. There are unbelievers who need Jesus in our community. And God's giving us a building to fill it. He wants to fill it, but He wants to fill it with those who need Him in this community. Okay, we have transfer growth. People move here from Wisconsin and Oregon. They already know Jesus. And they get here and they're looking for a church and they come to River Valley. Praise God for that. We call that transfer growth. We're going to need a new building for that because Mesquite's going to continue to grow. But Jesus wants to build His church too, and He wants to draw out of the darkness and into light people who don't know Him. And see, God sees the future, we don't. He's providing us a building for a reason. I think because he's going to build this church. And he's going to build it a lot more. But when we get into the new building, it's not like, well, we've arrived now. Well, we've graduated. We've got our new building now. Right? No, not at all. And so, getting into 2018, because this is my prediction. And I'm not even a prophet, and I would never go to Vegas with this. But I think we're going to be in the new building in 2018. Anybody want to raise your hand? 2018. Who's going to go to Vegas and bet? 2018, right here, right? Right? Okay. I told you, this is my prayer for this class, is that we enter 2018 a little bit changed about the way that we think about time and what God gives us to use for his glory. So go to that next click. For Jesus, life was all about building three key relationships. Click that three times, Dave. His relationship with God, his relationship with key believers, and his relationship with unbelievers. Can someone please read Mark 1:35? Can I get a raise of a hand for a volunteer for that? Mark 1:35. Okay, in the back. Can I get somebody to read John 3:22? Another volunteer to read that. Okay, in the front row here. And then Luke 19:1-10. That's 10 verses. Big, Jeff, okay? All right, Mark 1:35. Okay, Jesus would spend his morning, he'd get up very early in the morning, he would spend his time with the Father. Now, it's a key relationship, and in fact, it's the key of all keys to all relationships, is our time with God, okay? Now, we've talked about this before in the past, maybe when I've taught, I don't know. You can know about someone, and then you can know someone, okay? I can give you a difference. I know facts about Steph Curry because I'm a huge Warriors fan. You may not know this, but I don't know Steph Curry personally. Never talked to him in my whole life, okay? My daughter has his jersey. You know, we cheer for the Warriors. We know about Steph Curry, but I don't know him, okay? There's a lot of people who know facts about God, and they even go to church and they go to Bible study, but that's it. They check off the box every week, but they don't know God personally. You guys, it's so important. This, what we do here is we worship God together, but when we leave, we need to go and be developing our own relationship with God. How do you do that? You open up the Bible, and you read God's Word, and you pray to Him, and you ask Him to speak to you. I've never heard Him audibly speak to me, but He does speak to me in my heart and in my mind, and He directs us by His Spirit and by His Word, okay? So you need to be spending time with God every week, every day. And you may say, well, how long? Well, I can't tell you that. I've had some powerful five-minute conversations with people. Just life-changing stuff, you know, where they really challenge you. 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Sometimes you can sit down with somebody for 3 hours and not get anything out of it, correct, right? So it's going to have to be what you do. But may I say, Jesus went early in the morning. I think there's some keys here. In the quietness of the morning, before he started his day, and he met God. That's what I prefer as well. Early in the morning, try to meet with God. Confess my sins. Look at my heart. Get ready for the day. You know, it doesn't mean I'm not going to mess up for the day or sin. That happens. But huge, huge relationship. Number two, his relationship with key believers. Discipleship. Meeting with other believers. You may say, well, we meet with believers here. But we're talking in the realm of relationships. So what we're doing here is kind of corporate worship, corporate learning. But this is in relationship. And so you're meeting with key believers throughout the week. So looking at your week or your month, who do you meet with and you build relationship with where you pray for one another, where you build each other up, all the one another's, where you're kind to one another? It could be your spouse. It could be your kids. It could be your neighbors. It could be just your friends here at church, I don't know, but you're meeting with key believers in regularity, okay? There's some sort of rhythm there, okay? It's good for your faith, okay? And then here's the one that I was convicted about. Remember I told you that I've been convicted about this study? His relationship with unbelievers. Jeff, read Luke 19:1-10. You can follow along if you'd like, but listen to this story of Jesus.
Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Okay.
Hey, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Before we go there, I think we just did.
We did. Yeah, good point. Okay, John 3:22. Who had that? Oh, yeah,
after these things, Jesus sent his disciples, came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized.
Very good. So Jesus met with his disciples. Those were his key believers. Thank you for that.
Okay, and then I want to reinforce that, and even a little stronger verse than that. If you go to Mark 3:14, where he actually appointed the disciples, that he might be with them. So part of his purpose, really, was spending time and then being with them, then equipping them to go out and do things. That was something somebody had pointed out to me years ago. That was stuck with me, his purpose.
That's good. That's very, very good. When we talk about a disciple, a learner, okay, someone who follows, the guy who put this material together, Cadre Ministries, they actually teach churches how to disciple one another. Because actually what Bill says often is churches aren't, they don't do discipleship. They just gather a bunch of people, they have a service, and they kick them out. But discipleship isn't happening. People aren't really meeting together to know who Jesus is, to change together, and then to go and meet together with other people, and there's an accountability where you're getting with, together with, and you're discipling one another, who then go out and disciple other people, who go out and disciple other people. He says, actually, what's really rare is three generations of discipleship rarely happen in church, where I'm meeting with, you know, we're meeting together, discipling one another, and then the two of us, we go out and we disciple other people, who then go out and disciple other people. He says it's very, very rare that that's actually happening. People are getting together over God's word, praying together, learning together, changing together, and then doing that together with other people. And so it's a great challenge. And you have to be with each other, correct?
Yeah, can I belabor that with an example?
You certainly can. Also, we understand, we're going to move on here because we have a lot to cover, but understand that Jesus, this was his focus on filling his time, were these three relationships. If we want to be like Jesus, and he gives us time, one of the things he wants us to do with our time is to honor him and to be like him. And so I understand that you have things to do for your week, but part of putting into your week would be these, working on these three relationships right here. Working on your relationship with God, working on your relationship with key believers. You can't hang out with all the believers. I understand that. But then also, who does God have in your sphere of influence who doesn't know Jesus? You guys, we have them all. Whether they're family, whether they're neighbors, whether they're coworkers, whether they're somebody that we see regularly down at the rec center or McDonald's or wherever you go and whatever you do,
There's a reason why they're in your life. And if they don't know Jesus, Jesus wants them to know who he is. And the way he wants to do that is through your life.
And so I want you to know something about Jesus. Okay, in verse 5, it says this. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him. So here's the thing that Jesus did first, is he saw unbelievers. Do you see unbelievers in your life? Or do you just kind of pass them by and you don't even think about it? You don't really pray for them. They're in your life. Maybe they're even a bother. Who knows? But they're in your life for a reason. So some of us need a new set of eyes. We need to think through, who are the unbelievers in our life that Jesus wants us to focus on, to see? See their needs, see who they are. Secondly, he says, said to him, Zacchaeus.
So he knew Zacchaeus by name, even though Zacchaeus kind of knew Jesus, but Jesus actually knows him. So when we see unbelievers in our lives, here's the challenge here. We need to get to know them. Doesn't mean you go up to them and just start sharing the gospel necessarily, okay? Just live the gospel. But see them and know them. And thirdly, it says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. He wants to be involved in his life. He wants to be with him. We got to be with unbelievers too. And here's a strange phenomenon that I have dealt with in my own life. But when people come to Christ, they come out of the world, they kind of come into the church, and there's this kind of this hibernation time where they draw away, which is a good time to kind of get the world out of their system and get into truth and get some conviction and some character and all these things. But then we get into our holy huddles and we don't ever break them. You notice in a football game, they can only huddle for so long before they have to go do the play. Okay? Sometimes in Christian churches, they holy huddle so long, we're getting all these penalties, but we're not really understanding what's going on. Jesus wants us to break out of the holy huddle and get involved in the church, in the world. Not be of the world, but we are in the world. The question is, are you really in the world? Or are you so protecting yourself that your life isn't actually, God wants to use your life to draw unbelievers to himself. He wants to use your life. I don't care how much little knowledge you know. If you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a testimony, and you can certainly share probably even a few verses of the God that you know and love and are getting to know. But you guys, he's giving us a building. I don't know about you, and that's exciting, but here's the trepidation part for me. There's a huge responsibility with that. And it's not just to say, well, here's our building. I don't think so. I think a lot of what God has planned in 2018, as I've been praying about this, even in I attend River Valley Bible Church, which I'm a member of, and I have to be responsible with my time. And God's telling me to tell you, he wants all of us involved in what he's doing in 2018 as we get into the building, that we're already doing these things because he has plans to grow us. That's why he's giving us the building. He just sees things ahead of us. Isn't that great of God? He's just getting ahead of us, right? Pretty cool. All right, next slide. Uh-oh. Maybe there's not a next slide. Great question here. I'll read it if you can't see it. I can barely see it myself. Can anyone think of a single time in the waking life of Christ when he was not intentionally building one of these three relationships? Because when you look at the Gospels, that's what Jesus was doing with his time. He was spending time with the Father. He was spending time with his disciples. Or he's investing in time, his time with people who did not even believe him. He knew many of them would never believe him. In fact, many of them used him for his miraculous things that he could do for them, and then they left. But he did it anyway because Jesus has unconditional love. Here's the challenge to you guys and to me about unbelievers. I think we have talked about this before. Oftentimes, believers will be involved with unbelievers relationally, and the moment that they kind of claim, well, I don't believe what you believe, and I'm not going to believe what you believe, we bail out of the relationship. You guys, that's not unconditional love. We don't come into a relationship with an unbeliever saying, you know, this is going to work out well for you. If you believe in Jesus, then I'm going to be your friend. I think what's really good for us to kind of battle through is the love of God that's in us that's unconditional, even when people don't do the things that we want them to do, like believe in Jesus. We're just wholly committed to this relationship. And so it's a great thing to ask. Boy, that's really bad. Sorry about that. Can't even see that. Okay, click again. Hopefully we can see. No, okay. I'll read this for you. 1 John 2:6. Those who say they live in God should live as Jesus did. Next. It says, what matters to Jesus when it comes to management... No, when it comes to managing the time he gives us. What matters to Jesus when it comes to managing the time he gives us? It's about relationships. Okay, click through, because we got to get through. It's Mark 12. Keep going. Next slide. Oh, very good. There's that question right there. Okay, click again, Dave, three times. Love God. Love people. Really, nothing else really matters. It's about relationships. It really is about relationships. Okay? Okay, next. So here's his time management. You'll see this. Click again. You're going to see some circles here of kind of how Jesus divided his time with different kinds of people. And really, it's within these three circles is where you would find Jesus and him spending time making disciples. He was with other disciples, a bigger group. He was with lots and lots of crowds, a lot. In fact, one of the things I read this morning in Matthew 15 is he drew away to be with the Father by himself, and the crowds followed him. They just came to him. You know, my thing would be, hey, leave me alone right now. I'm spending time with God, right? Jesus didn't do that. It says actually he had compassion on them. You know why he had compassion on them? Because he was spending time with the Father. And God was preparing him for all these crowds. That's why it's so critical for us to spend time with God. All right, next slide. So if this is true, then what questions come to your mind? Well, really, when it comes to relational priorities, it's God, believers, and unbelievers. That's to be our priority when it comes to filling our time. Filling our time. All right, next one. Are Jesus' priority relationships yours? All right, questions real quick. Just go through them. We'll crank through them. All right. This right here, I'm going to explain this real quick. The quality of all your relationships is inversely proportional to the pace of your life. Here's how it goes. The busier you are, watch this, the busier you are, this goes down. The busier you are, the less time you're going to have for developing relationships. Crazy, super, super busy dad, always work 14 hours a day. Guess what? He's not spending a whole lot of time with his wife, if he's married. He's not spending hardly any time with his kids, although he's providing probably very well materially for them. But the more that goes up, the less that goes down. If you can get that into balance, notice this is how this works. Okay? So I'm not saying that you don't do any work. Well, that's ridiculous. But what I'm saying is there does need to be more of a balance and more of a priority of what's most important. It's relationships. So if there's something that you may say, hey, Derek, I work 60-hour work weeks. There's nothing I can do about it. Well, that's the season that you're in. And so you need to prayerfully consider, how do you fill the rest of your time with those three priorities? How do you fill the rest of your time with those three priorities? Everybody's in a different season of life, all right? Okay, next one. Yep, keep going. Will you dare to step out of the normal to live for Jesus' relationship priorities? Now, I don't want to get myself into trouble this morning. Sometimes I get myself into trouble with the things I say, and I sometimes apologize about that. I'm not sure. I don't know if I'll apologize about it now. I want to speak to you who are retired, because I'm not there yet. I'm trying to catch you as fast as I can, but I'm not there yet. I don't know what retirement looks like, but one of the things I think God wants you to consider for 2018 is how you spend your retirement in 2018 and fill your time considering the things that we're talking about. Spending time with him, spending time with key believers, and spending time with unbelievers. You guys, I believe, have an incredible opportunity to make a huge impact in Mesquite, Nevada this year. Now, for some of you who have kids in school and other things going on, you don't have quite those same opportunities that some of you seniors have. What I want you to look at as an opportunity to see God do some incredible things in your life and through your life this year. And this is, again, I'm not a prophet. This is what I absolutely believe. If you give yourself wholly to what God wants to do in you and through you this year, I believe we will see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior for the first time in their life. We're going to see salvations happen. That's what I believe. And I believe that if you go and attend River Valley Bible Church, a natural transference of that is that they would join us in worship of the God that they now know at River Valley Bible Church too. And hopefully that would be over there than right here, because we've already kind of outgrown this, right? So, just something to think about and ponder about. All right, next one. So, prioritize. How do we prioritize? Well, we ponder the brevity of life often. That's how we make priorities, and we prioritize the relationships of Jesus. All right, reflect. Hopefully those are in your notes. Keep going, because we got to get going real fast. All right, number two. Here we go. You want to load number two? It should be the second one down, hopefully. You guys can get those. Any comments or questions? Sorry, I'm going kind of fast. All right, here we go. Dave, cook away. All right, we already went through ponder the brevity of life often. Cook again. Prioritize the relationships of Jesus. And here's strategy number two. We go from prioritize to plan. How are we going to plan? All right, this is how we're going to do it. Time management principle number three is proactively schedule biblical priorities. What are the biblical priorities? Maintaining a relationship with God, key believers, and unbelievers. We want to get that into our calendar. We have to proactively schedule that. Why would we say that? Why is that a big deal to say you have to proactively schedule that, those priorities into your schedule?
Because if you don't, you'll never do it.
Thank you for saying that, Jeff. That's the honest truth, is it not? I mean, there's a lot of good intentions, you guys. I got so many good intentions I could tell you about, but I just never get to it, right? Why? Because the urgent comes along. Okay, click that next one. So incredible. If we don't intentionally proactively schedule biblical priorities into our daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly calendar, what we consider to be important will always be at the mercy of what is urgent, whether it's important or not. You know what? Life just happens. Sometimes things that are unexpected happen, and all of a sudden that captures our attention, and what we meant to do, we don't end up doing. And is anybody else guilty of this, or am I the only one? Right?
You're the only one.
Okay, well, it's good to know. Bonnie always humbles me every week. All right. Very good. But that's so true. All right, so here's the top three boulders or priorities. I don't really like that picture of God, but it's the one I come up with, so anyway. Go ahead and click that three times. So God, for me right now, my season of life, it's God, my spouse, and my kids. Okay, I gotta do better at that, actually, all three of those. So questions for consideration. Go for it. How much time and minutes did you invest in each of these last week? I don't want anybody to shout that out loud. Okay, I want you to think through, how much time did I spend with God this last week? Because that's going to tell you if it's a priority or not. If what you're going to say is, well, the last time I was in God's Word was last Sunday when I was at church, then God is a 1 hour a week priority to you, and that's when you go to Sunday church. Okay, so that would need to change. Okay, for me, how many minutes did I spend with God last month? Maybe it's not even last week. Maybe it's last month or last year. Because maybe I haven't been to church for 6 months. I don't know what's going on. Okay, but think through those relationships, your priority. How many of you guys ever heard the song, Cats in the Cradle?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you've heard that. Look at all you old people. All right. I've never heard the song until I studied this out this week. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to sing this, but Dave's going to put up the words, and I'm going to read them to you, and I want you to really think about this. I know you know the song. Okay, go ahead. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do, he said. That's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. Said, I'm going to be like him. Yeah, you know I'm going to be like him. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? have long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids got the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he had grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. We're all going to sing it right now. I'm just singing. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then.
So true.
It's true for a lot of us. And what God wants us to get centered on, I think, for 2018, and what he wants to do in this church and through this church, in our leadership and through our leadership, and in this congregation and through this congregation, is he wants us to be prepared for what he wants us to join him in 2018. One of the things he's going to do for this congregation and for this community is give us the ability to outreach in a greater capacity with a greater ability, more space. But more space means more responsibility. With more responsibility means more activity as far as our priority, which is to be relationships, okay? And by the way, that's a picture of me and hugging my dad after we baptized my mom. And so, because relationships are really a big deal. All right. The guy who did the song, kind of interesting, but I'll read this real quick. The melodrama of this song was played out in Chapin's own life, almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I've been told that his wife, and who said this is Robbie Zacharias, who wrote the words of the song, asked him one day when he was going to slow down the torrid pace of his life and give some time to their children, and his answer was this: at the end of this busy summer, I'll take some time to be with them. That summer, ironically and tragically, Harry Chapin was killed in a car accident. It's not possible to read that postscript of Chapin's death and miss the larger point that something was known, believed, and even, quote-unquote, preached, but never lived. When we chase man-made crowns and sacrifice the treasured relationships for which God has made us, life, listen, life loses its meaning. You guys, we were created for relationships. We were created for a relationship with God and with one another. And when we fill our time with everything else that doesn't have anything to do with relationship, life becomes meaningless. I don't want you to have, and God doesn't want you to have a meaningless 2018. He wants you to have a fulfilled 2018, and it begins with our relationships, okay? All right. Here are the three C's that tell everyone what is most important to you. You want to have a litmus of, oh, you know, these relationships, they're really, really important to me. Okay, number one, your conversations. What do you talk about? Are you talking about other people, your compassion for other people, your concern for other people, your involvement with other people's lives, and what is the course of your conversation? Are you always talking about the Denver Broncos? And that's what you fill your time, all your life with? I go over to your house and everything's Denver Broncos? I mean, I can kind of tell there. Okay, number two, if you say that clears, how about your checkbook? Let's get out and see what you spend your money on. That's going to tell us what's a priority to you. And the third C is this, your calendar. How do you fill your calendar? That's going to show us what your priorities are. And some people fill their calendars with whatever activity they love, maybe more than anything else, and that's what they spend most of their time doing. That is their greatest love. And it may be a greater love than their spouse. It may be a greater love than their children, but that is their love. God is asking you, because of his love for you, to love him first and love other people. And you do that by prioritizing some things, namely relationships. So what do these three C's say about... About your current priorities. All right, Dave, go ahead and click that now. All right, good job. Proactively schedule biblical priorities. Next click. If you don't proactively write God's priorities into your schedule, life will always live you instead of you living life, okay? And then, proactively scheduling biblical priorities into your life requires you to write them into your calendar or put them into your phone or do whatever, but you have to actually do that, okay? Next click. Now, he had to go through Samaria, speaking of Jesus. And then he said, I must stay at your house today. He was proactive, okay? All right. Next click. All right, it says this. You save 10 minutes in execution for every minute that you invest in planning. This means that the very act of planning, thinking on paper before you begin, gives you a 1,000% return on energy. This is one of the highest returns you can get from anything that you do in life. Brian Tracy said that. All right, got to end in like a minute here. Next click. In what ways might this be true? You can think about this. Here's strategy number two in planning. TMP number four is this. Plan your ideal day. What would be your ideal day? If you could get all those relationships involved and somehow do that, or plan your ideal week, do that. Go ahead. Here it is. In order to plan a life well, we must be intentional and proactive about planning our day well, for a lifetime is made up of days. So your ideal day. Go ahead and click that real quick. Keep going. Okay, ask yourself, morning, afternoon, or evening person, where are you really, you know? Some of you are morning, okay, good. Okay, Dave, next one. Okay, two musts for the successful planning of your day. Clarify what your ideal weekday looks like. Start each day with a written and prioritized plan. This is just suggestions. This is what Alec McKenzie said. Planning your day rather than allowing it to unfold at the whim of others is the single most important piece in the time management puzzle. Okay? So it's just about being proactive. Just go through real quick. Click, 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 click. This is my ideal day. You don't care about it now because we don't have time for it. There's my ideal day. Did you get it? Okay, good. Here's the question. What does your ideal weekday look like? Maybe you can kind of plan that out this week. What would that ideally look like if you could kind of fit in priorities of those relationships? Okay, click again. Start each day with a written and prioritized plan. You can do that in your phone if you like. Okay, it says this. Prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field. And after that, build your house. Build your house. That's in Proverbs. So how do you decide what's first and most important? Just click through real quick because we really don't have just more suggestions as to how you do that. Very practical things that we don't even need to really go through right now. Just about making lists. Okay? So make a list. You prioritize. Kind of do it that way. So, you're going to be done right now. I want you to think about this week. I want you to think about your relationship with God, with key believers, and with unbelievers. And I want you to ask God, God, how do you want me in this next year to fill my time prioritizing those relationships? And help me to have the wisdom to do that in a way that honors you, that blesses you, that glorifies your name and is good for other people. Okay? And I'll pray, and then you guys can be dismissed. Thank you for your patience. Lord, thank you so much for these challenges. And God, I pray that we would consider the things that you would have. Lord, I don't believe this stuff is from me. I believe it's directly from you. And so I pray that we wouldn't leave here not challenged, but that we would leave here considering the ways that you want to change our lives. Lord, we're not perfect people, but you want us to be centered on what's most important. Lord, relationships are most important to you. That's why you died. You died to save us so that we could eternally live in relationship with you. And in wholeness and in purity, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the blessings we have in Christ. Lord, give us compassion, Lord, for those that don't know you, those that are lost in our community, those in our families, Lord, just all around. Lord, help us to be able to figure out how to properly prioritize these relationships and then to move that way in a way that does glorify your name and that is good for other people and really that brings great meaning to our own lives. So bless this group of people, Lord, as they consider these things, and we look forward to meeting together next week about this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. Thanks so much for today. And I will remember next week kind of what I said today, so that'll be good.